Come now to reflect on Psalm 23. Psalm 23 was the Bible reading that was chosen. And it's often spoken, often read at funeral services. And as I read it, you'll see why. In particular, there's one verse that hits home. And so as I read it, see if you can see what verse that is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. And it's often that middle section, that verse 4, that captures the grief and the sorrow and the hope as we grieve. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are with me. Now, as I open up this passage over the next few minutes, let's just briefly orientate ourselves. Psalm 23 is one of 150 that are collected in the Bible in a section called the Book of Psalms. Though the tunes, the melodies are long lost, the lyrics are very clear and concise and encouraging, even challenging at times, for music that was written 3,000 years ago. Now, many of the Psalms, including this one, were written by King David. Now, interestingly, King David wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born a prince to a king and a queen. He had no royal blood in him at all. In fact, David was the youngest son of a sheep farmer. And when we are introduced to David in the Bible, he is late for a meal, a family meal, because he's tending his father's sheep. Now, later on, when David became king, he penned Psalm 23, and he did so more as a shepherd than as a king, because he had spent so much time with his sheep. And so doesn't that give so much more emphasis to the opening line? The Lord is my shepherd. David, who tended sheep, recognizes that he himself was tended by God like a well-loved sheep. And the word tended is helpful here because it's very closely related to the word tender. Tender with its association with kindness and nurturing. Elsewhere in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, we read this description of God. God tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. So the Bible is clear. God is a shepherd who both tends and is tender to his sheep, the flock of his pasture, his people. And this is something to pause over, isn't it? There's something in each one of us that longs to know a God who gathers us in his arms and holds us close to his heart. It's a universal yearning. And if we look deep inside, we find that it's true for each of us. Now, I want to spend a moment making an important distinction here. Let's step out of Psalm 23 and move to the 21st century New Zealand for a moment. We are a land of 5 million people and 26 million sheep. And I'm pretty sure everybody here watches Country Calendar. So we know what a shepherd should look like, don't we? We know that they drive a mob of a few hundred sheep with hunterways barking behind, and they're on a motorbike, and you might see them bringing the mob from high country pastures down to the lowlands where they can be safe over the winter and fed out. But that's not the idea of a shepherd that we find in the Bible. They had no dogs, no motorbikes, and they didn't even use horses. They tended to look after a maximum of 50 sheep, often a lot less. And there were no number 8 wire fences in Bible days, but maybe just a few stone-walled sheep pens close to houses. Everything else was open country, sparsely grassed. And because of the low numbers and having to spend so much time with their small numbers of sheep, the sheep shepherd got to know each sheep by name, and the sheep would recognize the voice. And so when the shepherd called, the sheep would come. And I caught the most wonderful glimpse of this when I was in India with a colleague a few years ago. We were out in the hills of Andhra Pradesh, just at the base of the hills there, and we were helping a Christian organization train leaders. And we were surrounded by paddy fields. So in the evening, friend and I, we would often walk on the dusty roads between the paddy fields. And I distinctly remember one late afternoon, just in front of us at a crossroad, there was a teenage boy leading about 20 or so sheep. And there was no dogs, and there was no whistling, and there was no motorcycles, and there was no stray sheep. Very un-New Zealand. But bringing up the rear was another teenage boy who was walking with a sheep that was limping. And he was guiding that sheep. And that's the image, the Bible image of a shepherd. One that knows the sheep by name and cares for even those that are lame. Now, many could say that this is a very sentimental picture of shepherds. However, there's another side to this as well. Just like New Zealand shepherds today are tough, biblical shepherds were tough as well because the conditions were hard. Feed was seasonal and often separated by hilly terrain and steep valleys. Sheep could still stray, and there were exhaustive searches. They were not uncommon. And not only that, there was the threat of wild animals to contend with. You may be familiar with the famous story of David and Goliath. David is a teenage boy who took on the giant Goliath. Now, at the time, King Saul was not keen to let this teenage boy take on the giant. But David told the king, he said, "I have defended my sheep against the bear and the lion with just my stone and sling. And if God can help me defend my sheep, then he can help me defeat the giant." So Saul reluctantly allowed David, and if you remember the story, he scooped in a stream, picked up 5 smooth stones, and approached Goliath, who was laughing at this very small boy that was coming towards him. And then as he spun the sling round his head and let go, the stone hit the center of the giant Goliath's head, and he was killed. And David had learned that, defending his sheep from the lion and the bear. David was tough. Now, the good news is this. The good news that can help us as we face death, as we grieve and mourn, is that God wants to be our good shepherd who will walk with us in our dark places. And this is an offer open to every one of us, no matter what our background is, no matter what our history. God invites us to accept the offer as him as a good shepherd. Jesus Christ, his own son, came to live as a human. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus said this, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And I lay down my voice, I lay down my life for my sheep." So here we see both the tender and the tough side of Jesus. The tender side, because he knows each sheep by name. In the Gospel of Matthew, he says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus is the tender, good shepherd who looks after his sheep, but he's also tough. He laid down his life for his sheep. For although he was the Son of God, and although he could have called upon a legion of angels to rescue him, On that first Good Friday, he allowed himself to be dragged to the cross, where he gave up his all to be crucified. Now that's tough. But the good news is that Jesus was raised from the dead. And because he was raised from the dead, we have the hope that all who look to him will be raised from the dead. Not only that, Jesus offers to come and be our good shepherd in the here and now and walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. However, there's a qualification. This offer to walk alongside us is never forced. It's only available to those that accept the invitation and invite Christ to walk with them. Psalm 23 was written for those who choose to follow Jesus. Notice what happens to the psalm if we remove all references from the shepherd from it. So I'll show you the same psalm, but this time we'll remove the shepherd. And it's this, verse 1, my, I shall be in want. Verse 2, me. Verse 3, my soul, me. Verse 4, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear. Me. Verse 5, me in the presence of my enemies, my head, my cup. Verse 6, me all the days of my life, I will dwell. And so when we remove the good shepherd, it becomes all about me. For we all face dark valleys, whether they be the valley of the shadow of death, where we all will walk that valley alone, or whether it be other valleys like grief or depression, whether it be the valley of ill health or broken relationships or unemployment. We can choose to face them alone, or we can choose to invite Jesus, the tender but the tough shepherd, to walk alongside us. He who knows us each by name. Yes, we will all walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but those who walk with the shepherd will not be overwhelmed by the darkness, but led into safe places and everlasting rest. This is the invitation that is open to you all. Let's pray. And as we do, we will also pray for the family. Let's pray.